A middle-aged woman had a heart attack, and she was rushed to hospital, and she had one of those near-death experiences. And when she saw God, she said, "Is this it?" And he said, "No, you have another 30 years left." And so she was okay. And she thought, "Man, if I have another 30 years left." So after her heart condition issues took care of her, she stayed in the hospital a little longer and thought, "Well, I'm going to have a facelift, a liposuction, a tummy tuck, and so on." She even decided to have someone come in and change her hair color. Eventually, she was ready to leave the hospital. She was crossing the road, and she got hit by a bus and died. And so she went into eternity, and she said to God, "I didn't understand. I thought you said I had another 30 years left." And God said, "I didn't recognize you." No doubt, God will recognize us because of who he has made us and how we choose to live in faith by embracing his goodness and grace. Let's pray. God, you know all about us, from how many hairs we have in our head to what's going on inside of us. Thank you for loving us and caring for us and watching over us. We want to live the freedom that you're offering us, that you're pouring into us. We want to give you our worries, our fears, our cares that are more than we can carry or bear. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're picking up in Galatians again, Galatians chapter 4. Verse 8 to 20. Ernie, I think, has it up. I'm going to read it to you. Galatians 4, 8 to 20. "Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to beings that by nature are not God's. Now, however, that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back against the weak and beggarly elemental principles? How can you want to be enslaved to them again? You are observing special days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid that my work for you may have been all wasted. Brothers and sisters, I beg you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You have done me no wrong. You know that it was because of my physical infirmity that I first announced the gospel to you. Though my condition put you to the test, you did not scorn or despise me, but welcomed me as an angel of God, as Jesus Christ. What has become of the goodwill you felt? For I testify that had it been possible, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to exclude you so that you may make much of them. It is good to be made much of for a good purpose at all times, and not only when I'm present with you. My little children, for whom I am again in pain of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. I wish I were present with you now and could change my tone, for I am perplexed about you." Someone once said, we often only start getting to know ourselves in our mid-30s and mid-40s. That can sound kind of funny. Who knows us better than we do? We're the only one who has been fully with us from day one, with the exception of God always being with us. But I think in understanding ourselves, it often takes reflection on experiences that we've had, especially with others. Have you ever said something that you thought was funny, and when you voiced it out loud, people around you either didn't get it or they didn't think it was funny? I remember being in grade 12 and felt spoken to by the Holy Spirit about the words coming out of my mouth. Being funny and attempting to be funny at the expense of someone else is not the same thing. Time gifts us with experiences, and many times both friends and enemies can act like a reflective mirror about what is wonderful about us and what is not so wonderful about us. We do not and should not remain static from one decade to the next. We need to become more like Jesus And if we're actually going backwards, hopefully we have people that love us enough that they'll say something to us. The Apostle Paul is in the situation with the churches in Galatia. They've been false teachers that have infiltrated the churches, and now instead of freedom in Christ, these young Gentile believers are slipping down the rabbit hole of works, religion, and bondage. Galatians 4:8, Paul begins by saying, "Formerly, or in the past, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to beings by nature were not God. Since the time that God raised up the nation of Israel, there were two options, and only two options. First, through the Jewish nation, God revealed himself as the one true God. And secondly, was everyone else, with a plurality of gods that they worshiped, from the sun, moon, and stars, to the many gods they made from their own hands, shaping them in wood or stone." You know, when people invent gods, they're much easier to control and manipulate. Galatians 4:9, "Now, however, that you have come to know God, or rather be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and beggarly elemental principles?" These pitiful and deplorable past situations. How could you want to be enslaved again? Paul's question sounds completely rhetorical here. Who in their right mind wants to embrace bondage again? The obvious answer should be, we don't want to. Who wants to be enslaved to anything or anyone? For people coming out of addictions, the slavery master of drink, gambling, food, sexuality, money, the occult, is like a demon that is forever tormenting. No matter how we got in or fell into bondage, we want to know how to get out, to get free and stay free. Galatians 4:11 and 12. "You're observing special days, months, seasons, years. I'm afraid that my work may have been wasted. It would be like planting a garden in the spring, but not having anything to harvest in the fall. No produce for all your work. The false teachers, the Judaizers, are trying to enforce Old Testament laws and festivals on these unsuspecting new Gentile believers. The law and all the religious rituals pointed everyone's need for a long-awaited Messiah to rescue, to heal, to save, and redeem. In Mark 2, the religious leaders are hassling or riding Jesus' disciples for not fasting. And Jesus responds this way in Mark 2, 19 and 20. Do wedding guests fast when celebrating with a groom? Of course not. They can't fast while the groom is with them. But someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they'll fast. The concept of the religious laws and the festivals had merit or value, pointing to the coming of the Messiah. But once Jesus came, it was all about Jesus, and it's still all about Jesus. We cannot earn our way to God, and he's not asking us to. Galatians 4:12. "Brothers and sisters, I beg you to become as I am, for I've also become as you are, and you've done me no wrong." Could you imagine someone coming up to you and saying, "I beg of you"? Paul is earnest and sincere and desperate to help these new Gentile followers of Jesus stay on track. What has Paul become? Free, just like these in Galatia have become, living in freedom instead of bondage. Have you ever met anyone in bondage? They don't want to be in bondage. You don't want them to be in bondage. And the only one that can set them free from such a weight or enslavement is Jesus. Galatians 4:13, 14. "You know, it's because of my physical infirmity I first announced the gospel to you. Though my condition put you to the test, you did not scorn or despise me, but welcomed me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus." Have you ever ended up somewhere you never thought that you would end up in? When I was little, I was helping fill grain pails up and my older brother was feeding the cows. He was throwing the pails over me, and I grabbed them and filled them up again. I went when my brother did not expect me to go, and one of the 5-gallon pails, metal pails, hit me in the head. The bottom of the pail had a rim, and it cut my head open. Off to the hospital we went. My thoughts after getting home was, the stitches they put in my head hurt, but the nurse was really cute. Thus, I was determined and destined to marry a cute nurse down the road. The Apostle Paul got sick, and it landed him in Galatia. Instead of the locals ignoring or rejecting Paul, they helped him. We can sometimes be callous or uncaring to the pain others are going through. It can be inconvenient to serve and help others who are in need. And when the apostles shared the good news that Jesus came to save everyone, they were fully embraced this gift of salvation. Sometimes we can end up in places because of a flat tire, or getting stuck in the snow, or going to the grocery store. But God could use this as a divine appointment. God used Paul's sickness as a divine appointment for the people living in the region of Galatia. Galatians 4, 15 and 16. What has become of the goodwill you felt? For I testify that it had been possible you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? What became of the Galatians' goodwill and joy that Paul had first experienced from them? Have they lost the joy of their salvation because of legalism and rules and others pressuring them to follow? We can lose our joy too if following God becomes nothing more than a duty. Listen to their devotion early on. Okay, here's one of my eyes. I only need one to get around. The Galatians felt deeply indebted to Paul because of the great news of Jesus. But there has now been a complete shift in trust of relationship. The Gentiles went from willing to sacrifice to help Paul to considering him an enemy. How can this happen? What happens when you tell a friend something they don't want to hear? What happens when someone tells you something you don't want to hear? For many, our natural response is to become defensive and push away. I thought they were my friends. Proverbs 27:6, wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. It is a true friend that is willing to risk relationship to help protect or speak wisdom into our lives. If you don't have any friends like this, my best advice is find some. Galatians 4, 17, 18. They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to exclude you so that you may make much of them. It is a good to be made much of for a good purpose at all times, and not only when I'm present with you. The false teachers, the Judaizers, were bending over backwards to please the Galatians with the hope that they could create distance from these young believers and the apostles. When people try to intentionally separate you from your family, from your friends, from your community of faith, there should be red flags going up all around you. Something is wrong. Something is off. It can be easy for any of us to fall for flattery, and someone is trying to manipulate or direct us in a certain way. Smith says, we need to have a healthy self-doubt even about ourselves. I cannot do everything well. If Carrie was giving testimonial time, she could tell you that pretty quickly. I mentioned recently about a person who was older than me who believed that they functioned in all of the spiritual gifts. I challenged them and said, no one is that gifted, nor is that even biblical. They did not like that very much. God made it in such a way that we all need him and we all need each other. And even if that one person was multi-gifted, they sure were lacking in humility. All the good things that any of us possess come directly or indirectly from the hand of God. It would be completely foolish for us to boast in something that was meant to be a gift to serve others, with God being the author of it. Paul challenges the false teachers' motives, saying they should be good to the Galatians, not just now, but all the time, not just when Paul's around. It sounds like an election. When an election happens, there's an enormous amount of promises. They should have been kind to the Galatians all the time for it to be truly authentic. It would be like an old boyfriend or an old girlfriend showing up because they heard you had interest in someone else, so they start showing you attention again. Can anyone say false, self-centered motives? The last two verses, Galatians 4:19-20. My little children, or my dear children, for whom I am again in the pain of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you, or you become mature in Christ. I wish I were present with you now and could change my tone, for I'm perplexed about you. Could you imagine going through childbirthing pain more than once with each of your children? Where do you sign up for that kind of action? You know what? It's hard for children to grow up and become adults. And you know it's hard for parents to watch their kids grow up and become adults. The Apostle Paul is agonizing with the spiritual growing pains these young followers of Jesus are going through. In fact, we all have spiritual fathers and mothers who have extended time, grace, and patience to us through the years. And equally, we need to become spiritual parents for others in the faith journey toward Jesus. In this life, we will never be done parenting our physical children. You might want to erase this part from the tape, Chris. In this life, we will never be done parenting our physical children or our spiritual children until we're taken from this life to the next. Sean Drake tells this story. He was an assistant manager at McDonald's in Texas. And they were having this big sale on filet fish sandwiches. Has anyone here ever had a filet fish sandwich? Two of you? You know what? We're going to leave here and go to McDonald's right after the service. There's some things you need to experience in life and not just hear about. Anyway, this lady had ordered a filet of fish sandwich, for those who've eaten it. And she came into the restaurant and came up to him and said, "This isn't what I ordered. I didn't want any tartar sauce." She takes a bun, starts at his face, and wipes down all the way down his shirt. Okay, so he's having mixed feelings about this. He pauses and then says, "I'm sorry, ma'am. Let me get you the kind you wanted." He said what was going on in his head at that moment was almost all the staff he worked with were not Christians. And some of them were anti-faith. And he thought, you know what? In this terrible situation, I have the freedom to respond in any way I want. The next day, the lady that did that to him, who actually was a Christian from a prominent church in town, came in and apologized to him in the next day. What will you do with your freedom in Christ? In Timothy Lackey's book, Shepherd After My Own Heart, he says, rest is not only a function of being well provided for. It's a state of security that comes from the shepherd's protective presence. What was causing the Galatians to lose the joy of their salvation? What would cause us to lose the joy of our salvation? Why the change of heart? What would make us change our position with Christ? For the Galatians, it was enormous external pressure from the outside. If they could have just blended in with the other religious people, there would have been such a great target on their back, like lightning rod hitting them. There are many tragedies in our lives that can leave everything so broken and raw, it can make us question everything that has happened in our lives to this point. A marriage failure, an accident, a major financial loss, or financial instability, parenting, a horrible childhood, a loss of a loved one. It can lead us to the false conclusion that trusting in the God of heaven and earth has not worked out so well. So let's latch on to something that's a little easier. The hard reality is that some of the things that look easier can actually create a bigger burden and weight in our lives because they're powerless to save us, heal us, restore us, and love us unconditionally like Jesus does every day of our lives. The New Living Translation Bible says, legalism can steal our joy, and it has 4 points. First, legalism, it makes people feel guilty rather than loved. Legalism produces self-hatred rather than humility. Legalism stresses performance over relationship. Legalism points out how short we fall instead of how far we've come because of what Christ has done. It's like a ship that has barnacles growing attached to the bottom of the boat. At some point, they need to bring the boat into port and have the dead weight, the barnacles, scraped off the boat if it's to remain afloat. Have you lost your joy? The Holy Spirit wants to engage us this morning with His presence and with His touch. There might be things that have attached themselves to us and are weighing us down. Disappointments, hurts, failures, lies that we believed about ourselves or others, religious duties and expectations, fears and grief for losses that we've experienced. God wants to come again this morning and free us, to give Him the burdens that are too great for us to carry, the things that are crushing us. Will you surrender who is Lord again in your life today and allow God to do what only He can do for us? Let's pray. Jesus, we invite you to come. Heal us in our brokenness and pain. We surrender the right to fix things on our own terms. And on behalf of others, we both carry. We cannot do it. We cannot fix it. Come in your gentleness and remove all the extra weight and baggage that we have accumulated. You are all we need. You are all we want. Bring the joy of your salvation back into our hearts and lives. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The Spirit of
Just have a couple announcements. Benediction. We'll sing one more song. You'll be dismissed. Youth this week is going to be 7, 8:30 here Wednesday. Men's group is going to run on Tuesday, but this will be the last group for them until the fall. And, of course, it's Mother's Day today. We've got a lot of flowers here today. And so if your wife isn't here or your mom isn't here, you might be able to take one for them too. But make sure that you take cake too. Because I don't know what we'll do with all the cake for the rest of the week otherwise. So as you go under the sign of the cross. And our prayer is that the spirit of freedom, the spirit of Christ, would be blowing across you today, this week, this month, this year. He is what we need. Amen.
Amen. One quick correction, youth is actually at 6:30 this week.
Thank you, Thea.
Sorry, Lewis. We are going to the Aspen house. So we're meeting at 6:30. And we're taking the chicken pen. Also, please eat the cake, otherwise we'll have to feed it to the kids on Wednesday. And they get enough sugar. They have enough energy. Would you please stand with us?
Breaks the power of sin and darkness. Love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Place our chaos back into order. Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shines like the sun.
Have a great week, everybody.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.